This episode is brought to you by Vonage. Your business needs more than an 800 number. With Vonage Voice API, you can provide the call experience your customers expect and get the data your team needs. From call analytics and virtual assistants to automatic speech recognition and text-to-speech in multiple languages, your customer service team can help more people in more places. And with in-app voice, your customers can easily contact you the moment they have a question. Take your calls to the next level with Vonage Voice API. Learn more at Vonage.com.
Diablo 4 has arrived. As the forces of hell gather, only you can stand in their way. Journey across the expansive open world of Sanctuary. Choose from 5 powerful classes, then progress them to fit your playstyle. Adventure with your friends in up to 4-player co-op with cross-play and cross-progression on all platforms. Welcome to hell. Diablo 4, available now. Rated M for mature. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by KPMG. At KPMG, innovation is the go-to state of mind. Their visionary thinkers and advanced technology help you see beyond the now, uncover new insights, and turn them into opportunities. KPMG can help you leverage the value of data and drive transformational outcomes through innovation. To explore their thinking, go to kpmg.us.
Hey guys, welcome back to Skincare Anarchy. This is another Fragrance Friday special. I'm so excited because the series is really coming together and I've just had such good luck and the privilege to host some amazing guests. And we have another one with us today. So without further ado, I want to introduce you guys to Olya Barr. And Olya is a fragrance expert, industry expert, and knows all about the things that we don't know when it comes to fragrance. So welcome to the show, Olya. I'm so excited to be hosting you.
Hi, and thank you so much for having me. You know, you have been really just delivering amazing content. So I'm really excited to be able to speak to you and to share some insights.
Oh yeah, no, thank you so much. That's so kind of you to say that. I you know, it's not me, it's the guests. They're amazing.
Well, it's a combination.
So. Yeah. No, but I want to get started and learn all about you because I know you have an interesting, you know, like backstory and just like your path into fragrance. I would love to learn about that and then we can kind of dive in to some questions I have.
Yeah. So honestly, my role in the fragrance industry is very exciting, but it's kind of like this hybrid of trend hunting, digital marketing strategy, and basically like a never-ending curiosity quest, you know, about fragrances and everything that's related to scent. My background is originally in international trade and marketing from FIT. And I have over 10 years of experience in a fragrance field, specifically niche fragrance field. And it started actually at a small place that no longer exists. It's a perfumery that used to be in Soho, and it was called Min New York. And it was a perfumery that curated a whole variety of niche fragrances. Things like Amouage, Montal, Mancera, Frappon, and many other brands that was, you know, back then it was, there was a lot less brands on the market. So these were kind of like the pillar players. And it was really exciting because even though I always loved fragrances and I've had quite a large collection of my own, but they were mostly designer fragrances. I had about 30, which was, you know, which seemed like a lot back then. Now that I have a collection of 900, it doesn't seem that big. But it was very exciting because, you know, I got to learn so much about the niche industry. I started creating this kind of mental database by smelling. And of course, I started meeting so many amazing people who were passionate about this industry. And I was very lucky because I was able to learn kind of, you know, both the industry aspect of it, because we were working on, it was a small team, we were working on multiple projects. So I was able to see the retail aspect. I was able to see kind of the internal process. We were also launching back then a collection of our own fragrances. It was under Min New York. So it was very exciting to be able to learn all that, you know, organize these cool events and just kind of really get a feel for the industry. And again, meet some incredible people. So that was kind of the beginning of it. And later I worked, you know, I continued to work in the industry. I was on my own for some time. I left in New York, I believe in 2015 or 16. And I was working with so many amazing brands, you know, on pop-ups and things like that, consulting. And then in 2021, it was very interesting how kind of I was circling back, you know, or I guess you call it destiny. But I ended up accepting a position at Your Perfumes, which is one of the biggest distributors in the industry, with a portfolio of brands like Amouage and Mencer and Montal, which were kind of like, and of course, Maison Francis Kurkdjian and Maison Crivelli now, and so many others, and kind of making this circle, you know, and going back to how I originally started. But my position is now currently as digital strategy and communications for Twisted Lily, which is an e-commerce niche boutique. It's like a fragrance paradise, if you ask. Yeah. And I think a lot of people don't know, but Twisted Lily used to be a small store in Brooklyn, New York, and kind of with a niche and a little bit of an indie curation as well. And Vikin Arslanian, who is the founder of Your Perfumes, he knew the founders very well. And he bought out the brands basically when during the pandemic they, you know, were ready to close doors, and he really wanted to keep this this concept of a niche perfumery going. So he bought it out, and now it's under the Your Perfumes umbrella, and it's its own, you know, it's its own beauty. It's really thriving, and now it's a fully e-commerce retail destination.
Yeah.
And it's really exciting. Yeah. We've been up to so many, you know, fun things, because of course the struggle, I think, is that you don't have a consumer walking through your door and smelling the fragrances in person. So how do you, you know, how do you deliver that message? How do you make their experience amazing? And how do you create this seamless, you know, and really fun experience and make it as easy as possible for consumers to discover fragrances? But more about that, because we have a lot of things.
I mean, it's a really good point though, you know, and I love that you eased us into that, honestly, Olya, because it's something that I'm very passionate about, because I think that's where the expert, you know, insights really come in, you know, and that's really where I find your experience to be so valuable, is that I've always been very intrigued by how brands describe fragrances and how they can bring that feeling to a consumer, even if you're sitting, you know, on your computer and just reading about the notes and reading about the bit, you know, what's in it. And I really have always related it to like poetry, you know, and I was a huge reader growing up. So for me, I think it's always been like this weird, like it's been tied in, you know, artistically, this concept of being able to describe what you will experience rather than just smell, you know? So like, I find that to be a really interesting just area in general, you know, when it comes to really getting people to fall in love with the concept of maybe a perfume brand or even just one fragrance, right? And I think one of the big things I want us to talk about is this huge like buzz around Baccarat Rouge, you know, 540, which is, I'm really dying to hear your perspective on this one, because it's everywhere, you know, as you already know, it's on TikTok everywhere. And it's just interesting to me how like certain fragrances come up, you know what I mean? And they become viral all of a sudden, even though they've been around. So I would love to hear your take on that.
Yeah, no, I would love to talk about that fragrance, because I will share, you know, this is very, I'll be honest. I wear the fragrance myself and I love it. I'm definitely the team love Baccarat, because I know some people kind of don't quite, they can't quite wear it. And I think that that's what was also part of what made it so exciting, because there was that team who couldn't understand. And I believe that some people feel like it smells very salty and mineral to them. And sometimes even people have negative associations. And then some people absolutely adore it, you know, and they love it. And they are on, you know, they've been buying multiple bottles, and sometimes they even buy many different variations on it that have been created by multiple brands. So it's quite an interesting phenomenon, because it's, you know, when I originally, you know, got into the industry, there was only a few players, and, you know, key players, and some of them were Frederick Malle, Serge Lutan, Samoage, to name a few. And then in 2009, we've seen, you know, the Maison Francis Kurkdjian kind of being born, you know, and I have so much admiration for Francis Kurkdjian, because as a creative, he is a man of precision and limitless creativity. I mean, he was behind projects like scenting the fountain in Paris, organizing spectacular immersive scent installations, and setting fragrances kind of as a form of style expression as the core. And I think every work by Francis is like the sensory adventure, and he knows, you know, exactly how to appeal to the consumer and create the fragrance as an accessory that I think many people can incorporate into their daily lives. You see, I see fragrances as both art and business, of course, yeah. And I understand the value of creating something that is both creative but also wearable. And there are so many perfumes out there which are like these ridiculous pieces of art you admire in a gallery but would most likely never bring home to enjoy on an everyday basis. And I think what is one of these biggest strengths about Francis Kurkdjian, besides, of course, you know, his amazing, brilliant mind. I'm a huge fan. But it's this blending of wearability and creativity. And it's kind of, I think, a secret spice to success in general, based on like analyzing many brands across the industry. But you do have these kind of outliers sometimes that you don't even expect. And you can do all the calculations possibly in the world. And then sometimes, you know, originally Baccarat, for example, was a limited edition that was supposed to be created for the 250th birthday of the brand, and then it became this cult favorite, you know. And I think it's could be potentially, I mean, this is just kind of my personal guess, but, you know, there are certain notes in this fragrance that are kind of tied to also gastronomy in a way, because the Francis Kurkdjian worked with ambroxan. It's like a plant-based molecule similar to ambergris, combined with the like that woody note to evoke that warm sand, like that base material of crystal. And it's that like ethyl maltol, which is it's an organic compound that is commonly used in flavors. And I think that is, you know, kind of sometimes described as like this caramelized sugar or caramelized fruit. But then there's also this minerality about the fragrance, and there's that spiciness, you know, there's that saffron, there's, you know, the jasmine aspect. And I think that a lot of times maybe it's so addictive because it has this kind of gourmand kind of aspect to it, even though it's not a straightforward gourmand like an Angel, for example, from Thierry Mugler, that was created by Olivia Cresp many, many years ago. But I do find it very interesting that there are people who strongly dislike the scent, and they find it salty and repulsive even sometimes. And then there's people who are completely obsessed with it. And my personal experience was very interesting. I have to share it because I think it was also an interesting experience that allowed me to even sometimes reevaluate how I myself experience certain things, and how I sometimes judge fragrances as I'm reviewing them, whether it's for curation or I also write for, I'm a contributing editor for Saf Le Bon. So I review a lot of fragrances and I write about them. And of course, before I provide my review, I have to wear the fragrance, and kind of every setting I try to do it for, like all kinds of types of weather and mood. So I fully understand, you know, how to write about it and how to speak about it better. So it's quite interesting that I was in Manhattan, and this woman passed by me in a burqa, and I just got this beautiful whiff, you know, like the scent trail behind her. So I was mesmerized. And of course, I follow her. Not strange at all, you know. So yeah. I follow her and I said, I'm sorry, I just have to ask you, what is it that you're wearing? And she turns around and she goes, oh, this is, it's Baccarat Rouge. And I said, no way, because I smelled the fragrance and it didn't smell like that to me. She goes, no, really. She pulls it out of her bag just to prove that she's not lying. And it just really changed my perspective about how I judge that fragrance, because I smelled it on paper and it smelled nothing like it. And I felt completely in love with that scent trail behind her. So, you know, funny thing, we were friends so many years later. And we always have that story where we laugh over it because it was like, we got bonded over. But I do find it interesting that, you know, it's a scent that is really, it's hard to explain this, you know, this cult following, but it's also one of the first of its kind, you know, just like Avensis, you know, by Creed was kind of that blend of that pineapple and ambroxan and birch, you know, that smokiness and that fruitiness. And then now we see so many different variations on it. And to kind of go back, you had that overdose of aldehydes and Chanel. And then so many years later, it's still one of these fragrances that's a cult following. So I find it very interesting to see, you know, almost every few decades you have something like this that comes to the market, and then people go wild for it, because Baccarat Rouge was not supposed to, it was supposed to be a limited edition, and then now everybody fell in love with it. So thankfully it's available at all times, now, different concentrations.
You know, I really understand what you mean, because that's what I was thinking. You know, when I first saw it on everywhere on TikTok, I was like, oh my gosh, I guess we're just, you know, bringing back fragrances that we love. You know, I mean, it was interesting to see like how something that was created, you know, it just randomly gets picked up and it becomes this viral, you know, phenomenon in the fragrance world, because I've seen it before, even when I was growing up. Like, for example, I remember my father had gone to like oversee, you know, some conference and brought back J'adore, you know, by Dior for my mother back when I was younger. And now, you know, when I grew, when, you know, years went by and it just kind of got really, really popular, you know, and it was like something I watched my mother kind of put on, you know, and it was interesting to see that, you know, how there was like this evolution of that fragrance as well. And it's a commonality that I'm starting to see just as a general consumer that, you know, fragrance is like one of those, I think, you know, areas in beauty and, you know, luxury that you create it and then it takes a minute for people to, I think, pick up momentum, you know, like it's like for the ones that last for a long time, at least from what I've noticed. And, you know, like there's a lot of hype around some and there's not. So I would love for you to like kind of dive into that topic, because what in your mind makes something like, you know, in a, from the fragrance category, like timeless, you know, something that people will keep coming back to?
No, that's a very good question, because I sometimes, you know, as you analyze things and you go back into kind of the archives and you see what people have been gravitating towards, I think there are certain things that either, you know, you have a new scent, completely new scent profile, you know, on the market, which is kind of like the Baccarat Rouge and again, like Creed Avensis, and, or for example, you know, the eccentric molecule that I remember was, you know, like rocked the olfactory world because it was so simple. It was literally like one quart of IC super, and which is a synthetic molecule. And then it went absolutely bonkers. Like everybody started, it's probably still perhaps one of the top sellers across the world. But I also think it's certain things that tie, that have to do with olfactory kind of memories and imprints since we are kids, because there are certain things that may feel familiar and they feel good, you know? So there are certain notes, like for example, a vanilla accord. We're seeing a huge comeback, you know, in the past few years, that fragrance, that accord in so many different fragrances. We have smoky, we have bitter, we have cupcake sweet, we have all kinds of, you know, varieties of this, and people are just eating it up. Yeah. And I think a lot of times it could be tied to things that are, they just, things that are tapping into these olfactory, you know, like very emotional parts of of our past, you know, because of course fragrances are very tied to everything that we've been experiencing. You know, it's kind of like any, if for example you're going through a positive experience or a negative experience, whatever it is that you're exposed to at the time, in terms of scent, is what's gonna get imprinted forever in your brain. And if you encounter that scent later, you know, it could be years down the line, your body will most likely recreate that emotional chemical response that it had during whatever was happening. So that's why sometimes people, they recall feeling really happy over smelling something, but they can't quite pinpoint it. But sometimes it's tied, most of the time, it's tied to just the chemical reaction in the body that they were experiencing when they were having a good time. And same thing, by the way, with the bad experience, which is why I always say that if you are heading to an unpleasant event, which you know, sometimes happens, don't wear your favorite fragrance.
Yeah, no, that's a really good pro tip. I mean, that's really a lot. I mean, that's solid. I like that you said that. Because that's really, really true. I've experienced that before where, you know, you get the scent gets tied with that memory forever. Like you can't get rid of it. And it like smells completely different, like after that situation. So.
Exactly. Oh my God. But to go back to, you know, what you were mentioning about TikTok is that I think TikTok is a whole other story because today, you know, I think that you can also sometimes there's things that are trending on TikTok that I can't even wrap my head around.
It's like, oh my gosh,
what am I watching? So I feel like TikTok just has a power of, you know, on its own to really just make anything blow up at this point, you know. So I am still trying to quite understand, you know, to understand how, you know, even my own addiction to TikTok at this point, I really tried to resist for a long time. And now I find myself spending, you know, hours on it. And I'm like, what is happening?
I'm the same way. And it's like, this is a total sidetrack, but genuinely, like, I feel you. Like, I was like avoiding it because of like the business side of things. I got on it. And now I'm like, well, now I have to post on TikTok, you know, like on it all the time. I mean, I hear you. It's like, I mean, but you know, it really comes down to regardless of how people are finding these fragrances, they still are, right? And they're becoming this phenomena, you know, overnight. Like, and that's what I really, you know, that's where my question really stemmed from, is this this concept of like, you know, what is it? Yeah, and you know, this ties into a lot of the, I think, the topic of niche fragrances, and that's where I really want to go with this conversation, is that, you know, what is it that makes people just like believe somebody when they say, you know, this is the best fragrance I've ever tried, you know, and those kind of things. So I want to learn more about, you know, just the niche fragrance world in that regard, because I think that there is this aspect of, you know, just that coveting aspect of, oh my God, I found this fragrance. Nobody else is wearing it. You know, it's something that's mine. It's a piece of my, you know, personality. And that is often the case, you know, with what we find as our signature fragrance. What is like your take on that when we look at the niche fragrance industry? You know, how does that all work together? I don't even really know how to phrase this question.
Yeah, no, I love that question. And to be honest with you, I think there are quite a few layers to this. Yeah. I think that one is going back to what you originally said, is how you describe the fragrance. And this is going back to TikTok and YouTube reviews and the OG blogs that kind of started it all. You know, the written format, the descriptions on site. I think this is all very, very important, because if you see, you can, of course, connect to the way something looks, to the design of the bottle, the color of the juice, so to say. But I think it's a combination of everything that really allows the consumer to better understand what is it that they are missing probably in their life, you know, because of course designer fragrances, they are less of a playground, let's put it this way, you know, because of course the niche industry offers such a huge variety of things. And the beauty of the most niche fragrances is that they also perform a little bit different on the skin, because a lot of the designer fragrances, they're kind of designed to capture your attention right there on the spot. So a lot of times the fragrance doesn't change as much. And of course, it's not the case for every single fragrance, because there's still the chemistry of each person who's wearing it, because that's going to also determine how the fragrance opens up and performs and lasts, etc. But at the same time, you know, how do you, when you're landing on a site, for example, let's say you heard somebody speak highly of a fragrance, and then you're landing on a website, for example, that you're, you know, starting to search this fragrance and do your research, how is the, what does the description look like? What are the words that are poetic at the same time relatable? You know, how yeah. can I understand what this fragrance is about? And also, how can I sample it? You know, and this is the question that I think has been a really big point to stress for a lot of brands that have, you know, slowly adapted, because back in the day, there was really no concept of samples, unless these were really, really big brands that were designer brands. And now I think consumers used to being able to ask for, you know, a sample. Is there a sample to buy that I can order, live with for as long as I need, wear it in my comfortable setting,
yeah,
be able to understand it, and wear it in different moods and kind of different settings, and really understand, do I want this fragrance? Do I want to splurge $150, $200, $300 on it or not? You know, and I think that's also changing kind of how brands are approaching things, because for example, at Twisted Lily, you know, we put a huge focus on sampling, you know, because somebody is landing on a site and how do you provide this experience to them? Like, we just recently we launched a whole section that's browsed by mood, so you can, you know, see, are you happy, do you want something uplifting, are you feeling kind of more, you know, do you want something a little bit more intoxicating and more sophisticated? And mm-hmm. I think it allows to kind of you know, to just direct people better, and then they can dive in deeper as well, because like, for example, Michael Edwards, who is absolutely a darling of the industry, and he created this concept of a fragrance wheel.
Yeah.
So you can classify all these fragrances. And also we added this to the site, so you can type in the name of the fragrance that you have previously worn, and it will provide you with three different options from our curation that you can sample afterwards. And everything is available in a sample format that can be purchased. Brands are also offering, and this is across the entire industry, they're offering discovery sets. So you can get familiar with the brands through an entire discovery set and kind of see what is the whole story of the brands, you know, kind of these, it's almost like reading a book, you know, to me, and really getting familiar with the DNA of each brand, which I think is marvelous, because just a few years ago, discovery sets were not exactly a regular thing. It was not really a big part of the conversation. It was just at the beginning. So it's really exciting to see all these things that brands and the industry in general is doing to make the experience of discovery of niche fragrances so much cooler, more fun, more in depth, more personal, and just easy, you know, because I think that at the end of the day, you do have to make, you have to make this a convenient journey. But I think it's also so exciting because during a pandemic, for example, so many people have turned to ordering fragrances and discovery sets and having these online masterclasses. And it was the way to escape. It was a way to discover. It was a way to soothe, you know, their anxiety. It was a way to discover something completely out of their comfort zone, something they could have possibly disregarded if they were just running through the shop and just smelling something really quickly. Because the niche world offers such a variety of things. And now there's even candles, you know, and all these different things that a lot of brands have added. I mean, Maison Francis Kurkdjian, actually going back to the conversation, it now launched, well, I believe they had this before, but now it's like this big relaunch of laundry detergent. So now you can add that as part of this kind of olfactory, you know, layer to your home and everything you experience at home, and, you know, the laundry process, which doesn't seem to be everybody's favorite. There's so much that this field, I think, offers. And then, of course, I think, you know, it's transparency and being able to connect with the creator, with the perfumer.
Yeah.
And learn about their craft, because, you know, there's so many challenges in the industry that I think are a matter of time when they're going to get, you know, fully addressed and fixed. But one of those challenges is, you know, for many years, perfumers were not really accredited for their work, and they just kind of worked behind the scenes. But that is strange, because you usually do talk about the author of the book, for example, or the author of the song, you know, and it was just, there's a lot of kind of still blurry lines that need to be, you know, that needs to change. And a lot of them is protection of the formulas. You know, we see so many dupes, as they call them.
Yeah, there's too many at this point.
Yeah. And there's, you know, on one side, people can argue and they say, well, these are more affordable options. But I can also argue that they're very questionable options, because nobody really knows what goes in there. And a lot of times these brands are sometimes a bit shady. But, yeah. You know, of course, it also goes back to the conversation about if a brand and a perfumer develops a formula and they cannot protect it in any way, you know, that's not exactly something that is right, you know, and I think that consumers are also starting to understand this better, and they're also speaking out. And I think that there's that shift that's happening, which is very exciting to see, you know, as a consumer.
Absolutely.
And, you know, part of the, and being part of the industry as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's really interesting what you said about the dupes as well, because I was really thinking about it. I was, you know, it coming to just this, you know, memory I had of going into like a Walgreens, and I don't remember what the brand is called, but they had like literally every fragrance that's been famous, and like it's been made into a dupe. So I know that it's like, you know, on one side, I have mixed feelings about fragrance dupes, because, you know, back in the day growing up, fragrances were, and they still are, you know, they were expensive, right? So it wasn't very easy to collect them. It wasn't very easy, you know, if you're a college student and you really, really love fragrance, and that's one of your, you know, staple beauty products, that is, for me it was, right? So I would have a hard time, because I'm like, oh, I really want to buy that. But like, I remember, you know, there was this aspect of accessibility there that I really enjoyed. But now it's gotten so out of control that like the older I have gotten, I think I've really started to appreciate like what you just kind of mentioned, you know, just now, was this idea of like, who's behind the fragrance? You know, where did this come from? Where did this originate from? What's the story behind it? You know, and there's so much more to a fragrance than just copying the notes, you know, and that's where I get really, really excited, you know, when I talk about, you know, this with anybody, you know, that's an expert, because it can, fragrance can make or break, you know, the way you feel, your confidence level, the way you carry yourself in the world, you know, it's tied to so many things. And I think that's the really cool part about the olfactory system, as even as a scientist, we don't know anything about it. You know, it's more mysterious than the eye, the vision, you know, the sense of vision, because it's you know, you find one thing out and then you realize, okay, wait a minute, you know, this might not be the final pathway or the final thing I need to understand. So, you know, on that note, I want to actually, you know, just kind of understand, I guess, your personal, like, I guess, way of assessing, you know, is a fragrance, is it something new? Is it something standout versus something you've already experienced before? Like, what is that process like for you when you, like, you know, you're looking for something unique, you want to find something different that's not in your collection, which, I mean, with 900 different scents, I'm sure that's difficult, you know, but I just, out of curiosity, I'd love to know.
I love that question, you know, because, I remember just a few years ago, there probably even, you know, half of launches that are happening today. So it's impossible, even for me. I try to really smell new things every single day just to be able to, you know, stay on top of my game. But even with that, there's no way I can get through all of the novelties. So I do try to kind of, you know, sift through them and see what are kind of the highlights that I really have to prioritize in my speed smelling portfolio, you know, kind of just like this approach, because sometimes that's what has to happen, at least in the initial stages. But to be honest with you, I always look at the creator, you know, because for me, the brands, if we're looking just, if we're smelling blind something, let's say I have no idea who this is. Of course, I'll look for things that I haven't really encountered before, whether it's a specific blend or it's the way the fragrance opens up. You know, is it sometimes the formula is turned kind of upside down? You know, usually we've seen traditional citruses on top that are very fleeting, kind of a core base of either florals or sometimes spices, and then the concrete kind of bases of like musks and woods. And sometimes you have, you know, everything is kind of upside down. Sometimes you have these really kind of crazy notes or even the story about the perfume. So a lot of times, you know, we do have some provocateurs of the niche fragrance industry, and they're very risky in how they approach creation, which I find to be refreshing, you know, because it's always interesting to see when people take risks. And that's another thing that, by the way, I think sets the niche industry apart, because it's hard to take a risk when you're, you know, really developing a fragrance for everybody to like, which is kind of the designer approach. And the niche industry allows to kind of have this wild playground of things that you can do. There is, you know, one of these people is Etienne de Swacht. He's the creative director for Etat Le Bouton d'Orange. And I might be mispronouncing that, by the way. Don't hold me to it, because my French is so far from
it's okay. But we're in the same boat.
Yeah, because it's like my pronunciation sometimes for these brands, I'm like, oh, I'm butchering this one. But you know, he created a fragrance that was called Secretions Magnifique, for example, and it was inspired by these bodily fluids, you know, such as semen and blood and breast milk. And people, and you read that description and you're both repulsed in a way, but you're very curious. And then you smell it, and it's this combination of notes that sometimes actually works. I have encountered a few people in my life, only a few, but you know, that fragrance worked amazing on them. And for me, I mean, it doesn't necessarily work for me, but that's the beauty of fragrances, you know, to each their own, and everybody is going to have a different kind of reaction and experience. And I think that's what makes it so beautiful. You know, you have, of course, people like Serge Lutens who created these dark and gothic kind of things. But then, you know, for me, I also look at the approach to overall creation. And I think that this is where a lot of times it's that blend of working of the creative director of the brand and the perfumer as well. And one of the people that I absolutely have to, you know, discuss is Renaud Salmon, is that I might be mispronouncing that as well, but, you know, he's the chief creative officer of Amouage. And he's actually a chief experience officer, which is not like a title that we've seen very often before, because it is his job to create an overall 360 degree experience for anyone encountering Amouage brands. And this is one of the oldest brands, so it was very interesting to see how he came, you know, to the house after Christopher Chong was creating fragrances for quite some time for the house. And his focus, you know, was to create a position to cultivate and celebrate the origin of the brand, while simultaneously proving that, you know, this true luxury brand can originate from anywhere in the world, and not just, you know, places like Paris or Milan or New York, you know, which is the usual kind of places of origin for a lot of big brands. And he's began collaborating with these different artists, you know, through different mediums, expressing the idea. So it was the video and the sound, and working with the perfumer, you know, to recreate all these different experiences of Oman in general, because that is the origin of Amouage, and all the things that are native to Oman, for example, and really immersing the consumer, you know, in this absolute new world, you know, because I think, of course, if you are, it's like watching a movie almost, and, you know, in 3D, 4D, where you're like, whoa, this is really intense, and this is really immersive and really beautiful. So, you know, and then there's things that are just fun and provocative, you know, things like Acro. Acro was created by Olivier Cresp, who is the perfumer behind some of the biggest things that, you know, some of the biggest fragrances like Angel, And Dolce Gabbana Light Blue that so many of us, you know, love and worn.
That was my college fragrance.
Mine too. I remember meeting Olivia and I was like a little groupie. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
because these memories are priceless, you know, and he created a brand that is, that celebrates, you know, all the human vices. So there's like, Awake for the addiction to coffee, and there's Haze, which is an addiction, you know, or not addiction, but I would say indulgence in, you know, a joint. There are things like Ink, which kind of ties back to the experience of getting your first tattoo. My experience only happened in the 30s. Most people are like, oh yeah, I remember getting my first one when I was 18. And I'm like, well, I was a late bloomer. So the funny part is that I got the tattoo 2 weeks before the official launch of the fragrance. So, but during the launch, like you could have gotten a tattoo because it was at the tattoo parlor. And I just thought it was such a cool approach. So I think today it's about this, you know, it's the creative direction and a vision. And of course it's about how the execution, you know, and how do you immerse the consumer? How do you kind of wrap this product into what, and how do you deliver it? And, you know, and how do you tell your consumer the story? Is it interesting? Is it fun? Is it exciting? Is it provocative? Is it something that's, you know, very different? Because there's so many brands launching and a lot of them are just kind of, you know, I mean, as sad as it is, but I think it's kind of like this natural selection where only the brands that will be continuously innovating and brands that are going to be really understanding how to speak to this consumer who is changing so rapidly. You know, there's so many yeah. different things to it. And it's like, sometimes I watch, you know, TikTok or YouTube and the consumer is changing. You know, there's so many, Gen Z people who are entering the space.
Yeah, it's like rediscovery. It's like rediscovery, yeah. And like, you know, it's like morphing into completely something different. Like even with like, you know, you look at it, you know, in the sense of like, okay, you guys might be, for example, you brought up Light Blue, beautiful fragrance. If anyone talks about it, most of us know how to express ourselves when we talk about that fragrance. But like, people are now discovering it, and it's like, you know, you kind of I go through it, like, you know, as a consumer, it like brings up this whole like interest and this intrigue around how are they going to react to this, you know, like compared to how I did when I first discovered it. So it's definitely interesting to watch, you know, it's definitely a journey. And I think that that's what for me in fragrance, like it, for me, fragrance is, I think, one of the most like closely tied areas of wellness and self-care to like, just, you know, in terms of like meditation or like sitting down or like something that's slower, right? More slow paced than like that instant gratification you get with like makeup or like, you know, something like that. Because I think you have to really take your time with fragrances and you have to really kind of allow yourself to experience them, allow yourself to feel whatever it is you're going to feel when you wear that. And I think that's just such a cool experience to not only undergo, but then watch somebody else, you know, experience at the same time or maybe later on. So, I mean, it's a fascinating world, you know?
I love that you mentioned wellness because, you know, I think that's what people started actually viewing fragrances more at, during the pandemic, because before it was kind of something you put on, you know, you're off into the world, whether is it to, you know, seduce or whatever it is that a lot of times people think fragrances, but it's so much more, you know, it's an expression of style. It's an expression of, it's a nonverbal communication and it's a very powerful one. So I find that, you know, and it's a huge part of the wellness because it is something that's yours and it feels very intimate and very personal. And it's interesting because this is something that I've never seen before, but actually Commodity, which was bought out by Vicken also, who is the owner of Your Perfumes. And he really created this whole concept of scent space, you know, and kind of being able to pick your projection even, which is not something that we have seen before. And one of the questions that a lot of times I used to hear when I used to be in retail is, does it have a strong projection? Because some people were worried because they wanted the fragrance to walk in before they do into the room. And some people wanted this to be more of their personal kind of little space. So I think there's a lot of, there's definitely this amazing opportunity for brands to explore all these different things, because everybody has their own needs. And I think people are starting to understand that fragrances is something that you can really experiment with. And it's not something that, you know, you're not, and it's also becoming more approachable because brands are kind of creating more travel sizes, more like of these 10 milliliters, sometimes, you know, decants that you can kind of, you know, pop into, like these atomizers that you can take with you on a go. And they're a lot more approachable in terms of pricing. You can explore scents in terms of, you know, candles and or diffusers, or, you know, so many different kind of mediums of exploration there. And I think Absolutely. It's amazing, you know, I think for me, it's definitely very, very tied to also this part of self-care, you know, because it's something that's mine. It's something that it's almost like a skin that I can change, you know, different personality that I can just try on for the day and change if I don't like it, you know? So I think it's very, very exciting, but it's also amazing to see people exploring more, you know, this concept of signature scent, you know, of having one scent for the rest of your life. I mean, look, I don't have anything against it. If that's somebody's thing, that's their thing. I'm nobody to judge.
Yeah.
I just think it's why limit yourself when you can almost like, it's like food, you know, you can explore and it's a never ending, exploration of something delicious, exciting, interesting. So there's so much to play with and so much Absolutely. In the future that will be created.
No, I know. And I absolutely agree with you. You know, and it's a very interesting, you know, topic for sure. So Olya, I want to know about trends now, because I really want you guys to kind of school us on what is, you know, really trending right now, or what are some of the fragrances that we should be like kind of focused on wearing right now from.
Yeah. You know, no, I love that question because, you know, I mean, trends come and go. And of course, just like in fashion, I think in fashion, they are changing a little bit quicker because every season it's like, throw these things out and get these things into your closet, which I find to be ridiculous because I'm like, I'm not throwing out half my closet every season. but I do think, you know, with fragrances, there are certain almost kind of like decades, you know, and sometimes maybe this decade will be a little bit shorter. But I do think there's been like the whole reign of vanilla fragrances for quite some time, which is interesting because we have seen this sometime before, you know, when you had this kind of birth of angel that was created by Olivier Cresp, who, you know, we spoke about earlier. And this was the beginning of this whole gourmand area and genre. And a lot of people started wearing and experimenting, even though it took some time to take off. And then we're seeing like this huge comeback to vanilla. And now you have, you know, and all these kind of gourmand kind of edible fragrances. But then at the same time, what I think is going to be happening, and this is already starting to kind of roll in, is multiple trends that are, you know, covering kind of more earthy and green kind of aspect. I think we're going to see a lot more vegetal kind of leaning fragrances with a lot of minerality, almost coming back to this botanical sustainability, you know, driving back with nature. And I think this is something that's been part of conversation for a lot of houses. I mean, we've seen big brands like Hermes launch H24, which has that green kind of steel sappiness. We've seen Diptyque Kyoto, which had this beet kind of minerality to it and had this vegetal kind of aspect. We've seen L'Artisan launched a whole collection around vegetables. And it was quite interesting to see, you know, and I think another huge trend that is like right at the cusp, and I think it's already starting to explode, but it's just going to get bigger, is the focus on drinks and beverages in general. I mean, we've seen tea play out in so many different ways. We've seen coffee fragrances, but now it's getting kind of a bigger and broader and more fun because we're seeing so many interesting releases, like Replica just launched on a date with a Champagne Accord. Atelier de Zorg launched, which is a niche fragrance house, and they launched a fragrance that's called Pink Me Up, and it's all about champagne. And also kind of coming out of the pandemic and celebration of life. And then Mancera is launching a fragrance that's I think I'm mostly excited about. And it's a fragrance that's called Tonka Cola. I mean, I'm a kid who grew up like drinking Coca-Cola and Pepsi. So this one kind of hits close home, even though I wasn't allowed to have it very often. But now I'm like, I can do it. So there's a lot of things kind of in that genre. And I think it's really fun. You know, there's a lot of brands that are going to be coming out and exploring this kind of area, whether it's something alcoholic or it's matcha. Definitely be on a lookout for a big brand to be launching something around that note. I'm not going to say, I'm not allowed to say who yet, but there's going to be a really, really big release that's going to be around that note. And we've seen, you know, Replica kind of dip their toes into this whole matcha category. So it's really interesting to see. And I also think that in general, we're going to have a lot more focus on AI. You know, AI has been kind of, changing everything in every industry. And I think it's definitely going to play a big role. So I'm curious to see what kind of fragrances are going to be AI generated or just approach. Like just recently, somebody from the industry who I value her opinion and I respect her very much, Olivia Yesler, I'm not sure if, again, I'm pronouncing her last name, but she's a really interesting person in the industry who talks about actually the future kind of this industry. And she came up with an incredible tool. It was called Scent Genie. And the tool basically allows you to search for fragrance based on words that you put in. So they could be like anything, adjectives, nouns, you know, multiple things that you're just kind of plugging in. And then it curates based on that. And I have to say, I put it to the test. So her and I kind of did it together as we want to call. And I have to say, it was very spot on. So it's really interesting to see how we're going to see this whole thing, you know, play out in metaverse. And obviously a lot of brands exploring in that genre. And I'm sure, you know, she just recently talked about how Google is kind of developing their whole sense and how we're going to be able to, you know, eventually smell things through the screen, which I think is going to be absolutely incredible, you know. And I think a big focus on, you know, things that are going to be a little bit more, you know, kind of blend of masculinity and femininity. We're already seeing this. And I think it's going to be more common because, you know, like Yves Saint Laurent, for example, they launched Libre, which is that kind of modernized feminine fougère. And fougère is naturally a masculine category. It's been always considered like the foundation of men's colognes. Or parfums at this, you know, at this point, but even though cologne is a concentration, but then you have this whole reinterpretation of the classic eau de cologne, which as we know is like that, this blend of citruses and woods in a dry down. And now we're seeing that kind of transition into a category that's now more accepted by, you know, the feminine market. And the interesting part that I find, and this is something that I've seen, you know, over the years, is that you never hear a woman, you know, asking you, is this fragrance for women? You know, you never hear that question from women, but from men, it's like, you hear that all the time. They go, is this for men? I just want to make sure, is this for men? And I think we're seeing like less of that now. And people are more open to looking at accords because accords and notes, they're just like food. You can't exactly put a gender. Yeah. So I think it's refreshing to see. And of course, sustainability across the whole sector. I think this is already a big conversation. And I think brands and people, consumers paying attention. So it's really exciting to see. And I have to say, I have to mention this brand because this is something that I think is going to be very interesting for you because I mean the your podcast is called Skin Anarchy and I think that this brand, so the brand is called House of Bow. And it was started by Bernardo Muller and his husband Giancarlo, who's a neurosurgeon. And they're, you know, it was inspired by their native Mexico. The scents are incredible, but what really, really drove it home for me is they developed this nourishing primer, which is a skincare product. And it has this hyaluronic acid, it has pomegranate extract, vitamin E, aloe vera, and Sentinella asiatica. And it's interesting because it hydrates and nourishes your skin, which is the best way to apply your fragrance, because a lot of people complain about longevity. And if you don't have a hydrated skin, no matter how strong the fragrance is, most likely it's not going to last. So this nourishing primer is really one of its kind. It's the first one to hit the market. And it has this, you know, it's basically, you have to apply it on. It has this kind of serum-like consistency. It's really chic. And it has these nourishing properties that prep your skin before fragrance application and allow it to last longer.
That's so cool. I was literally, I don't want to interrupt you, but I was literally talking to you when I was talking to Veronique Gabay on one of our episodes together. This is literally one of the things we came, I was like, why don't we make a primer?
I love Veronique, by the way. I love her.
Yeah, she's amazing. Oh my God, she's amazing. But yeah, that's exactly what came up, was this idea of this primer, because people are always talking about the longevity of perfumes, you know, on their skin. And so I was like, yeah, why hasn't somebody come up with a primer, you know, like just to ta-da. Help you. Yeah, ta-da, yeah. For real.
Yeah, but you know what? Actually, Veronique also has, I believe it's like Point G, because I think I may... I don't remember, but there was a lotion that she created. I know that she has a fragrance that's Le Point G, which is kind of that base that you can mix with other things.
Yeah.
But I do think that she does have some kind of lotion that's supposed to kind of do that. Also, so I think she definitely has touched up on that category, and I love her fragrances. I think Veronique is such a visionary, and she drives, you know, with this whole wellness component and meditation and kind of just, you know, having scents that are, supposed to ground you. And I love her work. I wear quite a few. Her Rose de Mai is, oh my God.
Oh my God. Every single one is like one of my, I mean, honestly, I have her whole collection and I just, I'm obsessed in her new aroma line. But I mean, that's, you know, we don't want to go down that rabbit hole, because you'll never get me to stop, you know, but like,
I know you and I, we're going to be on this podcast until like, it's going to be evening. We're going to be like, wait, it's been hours. We're still talking, but I love that. You know, I love that. This is something that you're passionate about, because I can talk about this for hours. So you better cut me off, because.
Oh no. I would never cut you off. You know, honestly, it's like more, it's so interesting to me how you approach, you know, this, because I want to know, like, you know, in terms of like upcoming trends, like how does that work for you? Like, you know, in terms of what you're seeing in terms of what's going to happen in the next couple of years, you know, that's not so immediate, because you had mentioned the vanilla scents and the more, you know, this whole genre of perfumes, and then, you know, going for, because I'm more of like a citrusy person, right? Like I love fragrances that are light and airy and just, you know, they're not very heavy. And I oftentimes like avoid like sweet scents, because I just can't do it, you know. But like, I'm curious, like, you know, what do you see for the future?
You know, it's kind of, I mean, on one hand, we can, you know, of course, try to predict certain things, but I do think that it's a little bit hard, because in a way, it's also a reflection of what is happening in a world, which we all see for the past few years have been quite unstable to predict anything. But at the same time, I think that a huge component is going to be layering, because that will... And it's already big, you know, people are already exploring it. Some brands have been exploring for quite some time, but I think it's also going to allow you to play with your own kind of blends, you know, because you can have a whole wardrobe, you know, of fragrances that you can mix and match. And just like you said, you like citruses, but you may want to kind of amplify it a little bit for the evening. You may want to add a little bit of that kind of sweetness on a certain day. So I think it also is going to create a lot of possibilities for this individuality and this kind of like scent styling direction, where it's already happening. You know, people are experimenting. I think we're moving away from this concept of, oh my God, this is not something to, you know, to not blend. And I know some perfumers are going to disagree. I even may know who this is, because he scolded me for saying that I should blend fragrances. And I was like, oh no. But at the same time, I do think that, you know, a consumer who's not necessarily obsessed, who is just, you know, likes fragrances, uses them as an accessory, uses them to kind of amplify their mood or soothe their mood, you know, kind of tap into these things as something that is not necessarily like art to them. I think that it creates exactly like these things that you have in your wardrobe. You know, you can layer pieces, excuse me, in your wardrobe, and that's what allows for so many possibilities. So I think that we're going to see a lot more of that, because not a lot of people, of course, there's a category who likes very intense fragrances and they care about projection and they call them, you know, the beast mode, as we call it in the community. But then the majority of people kind of want to be able to wear the fragrance and not have to offend anybody. And I think possibly this whole layering component is going to be able to, you know, allow you to wear something lighter in the morning and then have something a little bit darker, amplify it, depending on your mood. And again, like we're already seeing this, but I think it's just going to get, you know, more intense. And I think that with the creation of AI and just with, you know, innovation, we're going to see a lot more interesting accords, you know, that are going to be synthetic. But at the same time, there's nothing wrong with synthetics. You know, I always have this conversation with so many people who sometimes think that synthetic accords, you know, are somehow lower quality than some of the naturals. But I do have to say that, you know, when it comes to natural sandalwood, that takes years and years and years, takes over 25, sometimes even longer for the tree to mature. And then you have to do it in a sustainable way. And there's not that many trees left to begin with. Same thing with oud, you know, and a lot of naturals, vanilla prices also really fluctuate depending on the weather and the season and the harvest. So I think that we're going to see a lot more of these synthetic, beautiful innovations, you know, that are going to be wearable and most of the time hypoallergenic, like this big perfume that everybody talks about, Not a Perfume by Juliet Has a Gun, is one of the only fragrances that I would say, you know, if you have to recommend it to somebody who's prone to allergies, because it's made with one ingredient that's literally hypoallergenic. So I think that as we're moving into the future, we're going to see a lot more kind of experimentation in that field, and then, you know, kind of a blend of everything that I've been mentioning before. But it's interesting, you know, and that's what I guess, these are just some of the predictions, but I'm still really, really curious, because of course none of us have a crystal ball, but I'm curious to see where we're going to find ourselves in the next 5 years. And I think that also designer houses are going to be taking a little bit more risks. I think they already are starting to do that, because they're looking at the niche sector that's growing rapidly. And they're kind of seeing that people are open to exploring, you know, they are open to trying out new things. And I think that also is driving this whole concept of smaller sizes, you know, which we touched up on before, and being able to sample a variety and being able to pick something up in a size of the 10 milliliter, even, you know, for somebody who is, you know, student or somebody who's, of course, here you go. You got New York noises in the background.
New York has chimed in.
New York City. But yeah, so these are just some of the things. But of course, none of us have a crystal ball. But I hope to see some of these things that I'm mentioning, you know, in the future, because it's exciting. It's exciting to see. And this is what keeps driving my curiosity, is that really at the end of the day, you know, you wake up and you really, the whole world is there to explore. So I think that's what's one of the most beautiful things about this industry.
I love that. And I really love like how you broke it down, because you're so right. You know, I can only speak from my perspective, and, you know, as a consumer, I definitely know what you mean when you say, you know, things change so rapidly, because I kid you not, sometimes, you know, I find myself, you know, now that I've started the series, you know, I'll be trying a perfume and I'm like, I never thought I'd enjoy that. You know, I never thought that would be up my alley, just looking at the different, you know, like the words and the notes that are listed like on the website, but then you try it and it's like this immense, like, shock, right? And it's like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know that would like smell good on me. And so I think it's definitely going to be interesting to see like how everything evolves, because I know that Gen Z is obviously getting into fragrance, you know, they're getting into like wanting to understand, and I just you know, I'm curious to see how that impacts these trends and how that impacts, you know, how companies approach, you know, and fragrance houses approach marketing to the like the masses, you know what I mean, to where people are not. Because, you know, one of the coolest things, and I don't know if you've noticed the same thing or if I'm hallucinating, you know, but like I've seen that a lot of, you know, the younger crowd, they do want to know, you know, they want to know, like, what are the really nice fragrance houses? Where is it, you know, what are the greatest destinations for me to go and pick up a good fragrance? You know, where should I be shopping for this stuff? You know, and so when I look at them being curious about this, it makes me excited for the future, you know, to see how brands will incorporate this into their everyday and, you know, handling those, you know, a larger sum of consumers, you know, and especially now with like the influencer industry, like they're really kind of, you know, they're putting it out there. Like, for example, Jackie Aina has a phenomenal collection, you know, so like somebody like that, you know, putting it out there and her like really putting her face behind this and investing in things like, you know, good fragrances. I love that. You know, I love seeing that because it's like, I would love to get the stigma out, you know, of this industry where it's like, what, you know, kind of something what you said, which is like, you know, men's fragrance versus women's fragrance, or, you know, can we make everything, you know, unisex? Those kind of topics, you know, I'm really curious to see what happens there. But as far as trends go, I love all the insight that you've shared here. And I'm just so excited to see, you know, in the next couple of years, how everything transforms with the metaverse and all the good things that are coming. So
Me too. I think it's really, you know, everything you said, absolutely spot on, because I think that it's about the growing community. And, you know, that's what we've seen at Twisted Lily, that, you know, the more people come on board and the more conversations we have and the more transparent we can, you know, on our side can make the business and, you know, with the brands, interviews with perfumers, with creative directors. I try to do that on my channel as well. It's that community, you know, sense of community, conversation, transparency, and bonds, you know, because you can really, truly find some amazing people in the industry. And I think that that is what's incredible, because it really brings people together. It makes absolutely a difference in your mood. It makes people happy. And it just creates, you know, this good kind of vibe environment. And I think we all can use a little bit of that in our lives.
Yeah, so I'm excited to see. Absolutely. And I think the good vibes thing is so important, what you said. You know, it really is. It comes down to, I think, for me, personally speaking, especially for me, you know, why I love fragrance so much, you know, like I think most consumers, is that feeling, you know, it's the feeling that it brings you and it's the feeling that you're left with. And, you know, like we had talked about earlier, you know, the memories that are associated with fragrance, like all of that stuff for me is so intriguing. And it's like, you know, finding light in a very gray area. You know, and especially looking at, you know, back in early 2000s, we didn't know anything, right? We didn't know anything about fragrance. I felt like fragrance was this mystical world that I would never understand. And, you know, if I could somehow, you know, once in a while, I'd come across a scent that I was like, oh my God, this is amazing, you know, but it was never something I felt educated about, you know, and it was never something I felt like, okay, this was, I know this, you know, I know this field now. And, but now, you know, speaking to people like yourself, you know, it's becoming more clear and it's becoming less of this haze, you know, and more of this understanding is developing around what do we need to understand as consumers. Like, obviously, you as an expert, you know, way more, you know, than any like standard consumer will ever know. But like, even to hear like what you think are going to be upcoming trends, it gives us a nice little, you know, I guess, lead on what to really kind of look for in the marketing, and then also how to approach it, you know, when we are trying to find that new scent for whatever reason. So I really, you know, I really value, you know, what you've shared with us here. Yeah.
Thank you. No, but I think that, you know, I think it's also about asking questions and not being afraid to sample something. Like you said, you found something that you wouldn't expect to like, and then you fell in love with it. So I think stepping out of your comfort zone, trying things out, you know, and really just not looking at fragrances as something non-approachable, which I think sometimes happens with a lot of these, you know, kind of fancy brands, but at the end of the day, it's just perfume. It's there to make you happy. So, you know, at the end of the day, that's what really matters, you know, your state of mind and mood. So I love it.
I love it too. And I'm so glad that we had this conversation, and I'm so glad that we, you know, touched base. But I would love for everyone listening to chime in and let us know if there's some questions you guys have, and, you know, maybe we can get some Q&A going, and, you know, Olya, you can come back and answer some questions for us to help, you know, clear the case.
We can host you on Twisted Lily. This could be an interesting interview too, because, you know, we can definitely explore so many different things, you know, because we love to, you know, I love to interview, and, you know, the brand director, Elaine, she's amazing. And she loves to kind of interview everybody from the industry, and you have so much to offer. So I think we're going to get this conversation going. I'm always here, you know, at your disposal. I love this. You know, I'm so grateful that you invited me, because this is a chance to speak about the things that I love. So I'm really, really excited. And I look forward to our relationship just getting stronger and for us absolutely to be able to chat about this.
Yeah, no, you're my new scent fairy.
Oh, thank you.
You're my new best friend when it comes to scents. Yeah, I'm really excited. And, you know, I think that for everyone listening out there, yeah, like Olya said, you know, don't be scared to experiment. Go out there and find something that makes you happy and just have fun. And, you know, I really am looking forward to everyone's feedback. But thank you again. And for everyone listening, I will be back next time. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. Bye.